Tuesday, September 13th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, we have yet another story of a florist, baker, wedding photographer having to go to court in order to live out what they say they believe. This is a good news story. Chelsea Nelson, a photographer in Louisville, Kentucky, has received a positive ruling from U.S. District Judge Benjamin Beaton. He ruled that the Louisville so-called fairness ordinance unfairly violated Nelson's free speech rights. He said it forced her to express messages contrary to her Christian belief that marriage is only between one man and one woman.
She not only does the photography for a wedding, but also provides commentary and a blog to accompany the wedding. And the quote-unquote fairness initiative in the city of Louisville requires her to participate in same-sex marriages with the use of not only her creative skills in photography, but also the commentary sections as well. She is more than happy to provide photography to any and all who come in and purchase it, but she is not going to use her creative skills to promote and celebrate what she believes is wrong and in violation of God's word, and that is a marriage that is not a covenantal, monogamous, heterosexual, conjugal union. Thankfully, we have a federal judge, and he looks at the Constitution of the state and the United States and says that this quote-unquote fairness regulation actually is unfair because it violates her First Amendment rights of the free practice of religion and free speech because it is coercing her to engage in communication and speech that she does not want to participate in, and it would seek to coerce her participation. We thank the Lord for that sanity, but it also is an interesting ruling, Tom, because a similar case is now coming to the Supreme Court. And this particular news article also reminds us the case involving Baronelle Stutzman, the florist, and Jack Phillips, the baker, and the Supreme Court's response to those cases were interesting. The Jack Phillips case was a narrow ruling addressing not the issue, but the process that was sent back to the state of Colorado and therefore has opened the door for continued harassment of Jack Phillips. And then they refused to receive the Baronelle Stutzman case. But they have chosen to receive a similar case to this ruling that we're looking at today. And it is interesting to see if this ruling portends the ruling of the Supreme Court that is in this year an upcoming case. There's another story to me that's interesting in that I look and we see some people that we have actually done programs on commending the excellence, the accessibility, and the spirit in which they engage in these cases. And that is the ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom, that began in 1993. They have won, I believe to this point, 14 cases they've won at the Supreme Court level, and numerous other cases have they won without even having to get to court because of the strength of their case as well as their presentation. They have become so influential and so effective that a highly placed bureaucrat in the Department of Justice has made an interesting comment about them directly.
The Department of Justice Civil Division's Assistant Director of Commercial Litigation is a man named Eric Bruskin. Just last week, Bruskin labeled the Alliance Defending Freedom a hate group. In fact, he went so far to tell a former colleague online, "Are these beliefs you hold? If so, it's time we end our professional association."
It's time we end our professional association. When you're a high-placed official like this individual, that then has more than a chilling effect. It is that proverbial shot across the bow to any and all who work downstream from him in the Department of Justice that if I, number one, agree with the constitutional rights that the ADF fights for, and if I believe that the ADF is a respected participant in the system of litigation that we have in this country, as well as the public square, then my job is at jeopardy. He just said our professional relationship will not be able to continue. Well, if I'm working for this guy, I'm pretty sure I'm hearing a clear message. Tom, embedded in all of this is the continual manifestation of the imperial presidency that is being promoted through an overreaching executive branch of our government. We are supposed to have three branches of government that are supposed to be interdependent but not hierarchical. Here we are with a powerful department of the presidency, and that's the Department of Justice, a very high-ranking official now communicating that those who defend the Bill of Rights in general and the First Amendment with its five affirmations of freedom in particular, they're going to be called a hate group. They have a great reputation. They have great credentials. They win their cases. They are respected in the field of litigation and in the field of communication, and yet they are seen as a threat. Why would they be seen as a threat? They are appealing to the Constitution, which was designed to keep us away from a monarchical or an oligarchical form of government, whereby the powerful and the influential take control of the affairs of a nation. And they are now seen as an impediment to this movement of an overreaching federal government that is desirous of implementing this neo-pagan cultural revolution that rewrites the foundational issues and values of our nation that are actually embedded in that Constitution. Thus, they are called a hate group by this individual, and makes it clear that if you have any respect for them or engagement with them or support of them, even ideologically or even politically, there is no way that you can continue your profession underneath this individual's oversight. So here is the Alliance of Defending Freedom, defending the Bill of Rights, defending the Constitution, and defending it in a proper manner through the court system and with proper appeals specifically toward the First Amendment itself. And therefore, we now see those who are in the seats of power because of the last election, those who are in the seats of power now attempting to marginalize them or even eradicate them, and to eradicate any and all who would support them in order to remove their influence from the public square. Tom, that's why it's very important that we take a look not only at the constitutional provision from the book of Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah, that we have the constitutional provision for the three branches of government, and that is executive, legislative, and judicial, but we also are reminded that our founding documents institute the three sovereign spheres that are interdependent but not hierarchical in our social structure, and that is church, state, and family. And what we are seen in this revolution is a state that is insistently moving toward the evisceration of the status of the family and of the church in this society, and that we have a society that is controlled by government, and that means eventually a government of tyranny. And the ultimate rival it desires to remove is a sovereign God who is over all of the affairs of men. A sovereign state wants to replace a sovereign God and be God. That's why the First Amendment and any institution that upholds it is seen as a threat. Well, the church doesn't exist to be a threat against the state. On the contrary, we have a biblical view of the state and believe it is a divinely designed provision to restrain sin in society. We believe it has a role to affirm what is good and to punish evildoers, but it is not God. It is a wonderful instrument from God when used rightly, but it makes a terrible God because it destroys the lives of people unless it is, dare I say, under God, which has been our historical perspective as a nation. What we now have is a governmental movement that wants to be God instead of functioning under God. And Tom, we'll continue to bring the light of God's word in the public square and put things in biblical perspective.
As we close out for today, let me remind you, if you listen to Today in Perspective over the radio, we're glad you do, but you can also subscribe to this podcast. It's easy. On your smartphone or your tablet, go to your podcast icon. Type in Today in Perspective with Harry Reeder. Each and every day, we'll automatically download to your device a new edition of Today in Perspective. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today and perspective.